So here on Afternoon Classical, we've been talking about and listening to some music that is essential to WCMU listeners, music that brings back a memory or stirs up emotions. So recently I spoke with Maestro Robert Nordling on the phone. Robert is music director of Baroque on Beaver, a summer music festival on Beaver Island, also music director of the Shoreline Music Society based in Manistee, and he wears many other hats too. Thanks for joining me from your home in Chicago today, Robert. Thanks so much. Tell me about some of the other hats that you wear too.
Sure, Judy. It's so appreciate being asked to join you here at appropriate distance. I appreciate that.
And, a very appropriate distance.
Very appropriate distance. You know, good for cell phones. In addition to the ensembles you mentioned, I'm the conductor of the Bandung Philharmonic in Bandung, Indonesia. An orchestra that's been going for about 5 years. I've actually made 17 trips to Indonesia to conduct over there.
It's a wonderful
group of people. Mm-hmm. We can talk some about that. And then the Lake Forest Civic Orchestra in the north of Chicago. I live here in Chicago, and I've had a wonderful time with that fine group of players up in Lake Forest, north of Chicago.
You stay so busy. How do you keep all of that music straight?
Well, I'm not sure how straight I managed to keep it, Judy, but, you know, with music, it's as much a lifestyle. It's as much a way of seeing the world as it is something outside to be studied, something outside to be looked at. It's sort of the medium that I live in. It's the environment I swim in all the time. My life is lived vicariously through all of these mostly dead composers who I get to know very intimately through what they've written. So it's a great joy.
Well, now that you are sheltered in place, how have you been spending your time?
Just that, you know, it's a chance, obviously, to get to read ahead and to study ahead with things that are coming up. And also to delve into some music that I have never done or that is less familiar to me. So I've looked into some of the later symphonies of Bruckner that I have not had a chance to conduct. I've looked into some of the symphonic poems of Franz Liszt, incredible pieces of music that I have not had a chance to do or study. And then also to continue conversations with living composers, you know, which has become a real passion of mine over the last several years, as we've had the opportunity to commission 18 new pieces of music in the last 5 years, which we're really, really excited about and really proud of. So, yeah, I mean, that and get caught up on reading and sit staring out the window and walking my Welsh Terrier Bowen, and you know, you keep busy.
Have you used technology to keep in touch with your musicians from all of those ensembles?
We definitely have. We definitely have. In fact, right now we're attempting a fascinating project where we're going to be putting together a movement of one of Mahler's song cycles, which we're going to talk about actually in just a minute. And we're going to do it the way that many people have seen sort of on YouTube and online, where you've got musicians who are individually back in their homes and they record their part, and then they're all put together into a whole. I've come to appreciate how phenomenally complicated these very natural looking pieces of technology are. And so that's something that we're working on now. Just trying to keep in touch both personally and professionally with players, with upcoming soloists, with the management of each of these ensembles too. And it is a really tough time for orchestras right now. It is a really difficult time.
And hopefully we will all be back together with those orchestras and musical groups and all kinds of artists soon. Well, you know, we are in this time. Some people say a moment, but this does not feel like a moment. It feels like a really long time. But this time of upheaval and uncertainty and fear, but also of, as you mentioned, great creativity and hope, I think. And as WCMU listeners know, I say there's a song for everything. There's music for everything, every occasion and every emotion. That being said, what are some of the classical works that you think express what's happening in the world today?
Yeah, You know, when you asked me to do this, Judy, our initial conversation was, you know, what music do we listen to lift our spirits and to you know, help us express hope? And absolutely, there is a sign of music that does that, that we need that for. But as you said, you know, there's music for every situation, and music and art are particularly good at giving voice to things that are sometimes hard to put words to. This has been the case for hundreds of years with art music, where it's not so much decorative. That is, it's not so much trying to cheer me up, or it's not so much something that's outside me as it is expressing something that is inside. So great art and great music forever have been vehicles to express joy and hope and celebration, but also anger, also despair, also hopelessness. Music is pretty good at helping people get through solitude. Music is pretty good at a sense of quiet, a sense of introspection. Music is good at raising our fist against injustice and joining in that appropriate anger at things that are wrong, that should not be as they are. So I think we sell music short if it's something that simply paints a smiley face on a situation that frankly doesn't deserve a smiley face. It deserves more respect than that. And that's kind of guided my thinking through these pieces that we've chosen for our conversation today.
So, yes, I really appreciate that you have chosen specific pieces to express some of those emotions. You sent me a list for music that expressed solitude and anger, prayer, quietness, and yes, hope. So thank you for doing that. Let's get started with the first piece that you've chosen that represents solitude.
Yeah, this is a piece that I have loved for 40 years. It's a set of songs by Gustav Mahler, known as the Rückertlieder. There are songs on five poems by Rückert. And the one that is done usually as number five or as number four, Ich bin der Welt abhanden gekommen. I have abandoned the world, or I am lost to the world. And it's a introspective, it's about solitude. It's not about despair and about loss as much as it is almost about resignation, but not resignation as in dying, resignation as in a release into solitude, a release to the world. Just quickly, the text reads, I am lost to the world, or I have abandoned the world with which I used to waste a lot of time. It has for so long grown nothing to me. The world may well believe that I've died. And I'm not that concerned if it should think that I've died, nor can I deny it, for I am truly dead to the world, dead to the world's tumult, and dead to the world's activity. And I rest in quietness. I live alone in my heaven, in my love, and in my song. And it ends with this glorious six or seven bars after the singer finishes of just release into the universe of what is creation and what is our sense of solitude within this creation. It's a beautiful expression that can track what a lot of people are experiencing right now of having to be alone and having to turn loneliness into solitude, which is two really different things.
Yes, very much so. And isn't it amazing that music and poetry written so long ago is still so relevant right now?
Absolutely, yes. Right. I mean, that is, vita brevis, ars longa. Life is short, art is long, as the saying goes. And it is absolutely true to know that this poet and this composer, long, long since passed, experienced almost precisely what many of us experience today. And there's this common humanity that we share, even over the distance of time.
Well, let's listen to this beautiful song by Gustav Mahler from the Rückert-Lieder.
That was Gustav Mahler's Ich bin befällt, abhanden gekommen, text by Rückert, and music by Gustav Mahler in that song cycle called the Rückert-Lieder.
My guest today on Afternoon Classical is Maestro Robert Nordling, who wears many hats, a conductor of many different ensembles. He's joining me via phone from his home in Chicago, and thanks again for being here, and thanks for that beautiful music.
Thank you for having me, Judy.
We've been talking about music to express many of the emotions that many of us may be feeling these days. And we listened to that song by Mahler to express solitude. And next, we have a piece to express anger.
We do. You know, if I'm pressed to name my favorite instrument, my first answer is, of course, the orchestra. but if pressed, I have to say I have had a lifelong love of the pipe organ, the super instrument, the uber instrument, and requiring the super musician to be able to play it.
Oh, yes, hands, feet, everything.
Mm-hmm. Hands, feet, head, whatever.
Yes.
And so many pieces of organ music have played such special parts in my life. We had an organ recital played at a wedding many years ago. And as I thought about that part of our common experience today that makes me angry, that when I think of a small cluster of molecules that is killing tens of thousands of people, when I think about both the best and also the worst of responses of governments, of individuals, of municipalities, when I think about a situation that is not the way it's supposed to be, that makes me angry. And hopefully angry in a good way, if that's possible to say, rather than angry in a destructive way, an anger that drives me to do something to fix it, rather than drives me to do something to break it further. But in searching around all of the organ music that I've listened to, it can be so brilliant that the instrument can just growl with rage and many, many possibilities. But one that I have gone back to many times is Bach's Fantasia and Fugue in G minor, just the Fantasia movement of that, BWV 542. And the sense of conflict and of struggle, just harmonically, just musically, as he seems to not know where to land harmonically. He's constantly changing the direction with deceptive cadences, with moving into key areas that are distant from G minor, distant where he begins. And it seems to just pull itself almost out of stone, as if he is raging against something. And it gives voice to an anger that I think a lot of us may have experienced over this whole situation. Again, hopefully anger that drives us to make positive changes, but anger nevertheless. And so this piece by Bach, for me, gives voice to that dark side of what's happening in all of our lives right now.
Yes, which I think is perfectly natural, I hope, for all of us. Which
natural,
I think,
and healthy.
Yes, yeah, yes.
You know, it's necessary for us to be able to give voice to that, or then anger ultimately gets expressed in destructive ways, which only compounds the problem. If we can be angry well with one another and give each other permission to be angry and be angry at the right things, then I think anger is a perfectly appropriate and quote-unquote blessed emotion, just like every other emotion is.
And once again, music to the rescue.
Yes, indeed.
Let's listen to this piece by Bach.
Johann Sebastian Bach's Fantasia in G minor, BWV 542.
My guest today on Afternoon Classical, Maestro Robert Nordling, joining me on the phone from his home in Chicago. We are at a very safe social distance, and I'm so glad you're with me today. You are so well-spoken and knowledgeable about so much music, so I really appreciate your insight.
Well, thank you, Judy, for the invitation to come and share it with you.
So far, we've listened to music that you think expresses solitude and anger, and now it's time to pray.
It is. It is. I mean, faith for me is the backbone of my life. It's the DNA that makes up who I am, and my expression of faith includes prayer to a God that hears. And in so doing, I join millions from traditions that are thousands of years old. And one particular prayer that I have loved, or a particular format of prayer, is Gregorian chant, is the chant of the ancient church. And of the chants that we call sequences, that is, chants set to sacred texts, ancient sacred texts, we're in possession of four, historically. And the greatest of these four is known as the Golden Sequence. And it's a prayer to Holy Spirit, Veni Sancte Spiritus. It's considered by many to be the single greatest masterpiece of ancient Latin poetry. They're not exactly sure who wrote it, probably written by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Stephen Langton, who died around 1228. It's possible it was written a good bit before that. And there's no way that we have time to get into the incredible construction of this poetry. It's written in rhyming triplets, and the shape of the music matches the meaning and shape of the text in such incredible ways. But I just wanted to read just one short section of this prayer to Holy Spirit, where it's a prayer asking the Holy Spirit to come and be with, to come and bless, to come and heal, to come and do what has to be done in our midst. And here's part of the text. It says, Veni Sancte Spiritus, come Holy Spirit, and send out from heaven your radiant light. Come, Father of the poor. Come, giver of gifts. Come, light of our hearts. Best consoler, sweet guest of the soul. Sweetness of cool refreshment, bring rest in labor, relief in heat, consolation in weeping. And the text goes on from there. Beautiful, beautiful chant set to this remarkable text to Holy Spirit.
Once again, words written so very long ago, so relevant for this very moment.
Very much so. Very much so.
Let's listen to Veni Sancte Spiritus, or the Golden Sequence. Veni Sancte Spiritus, the Golden Sequence. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for that beautiful music, Robert Nordling, my guest today on Afternoon Classical.
Yeah, it's a powerful piece. This short little 3-minute chant that is this incredible prayer, asking for the presence of Holy Spirit among us to do His work.
I'm Judy Wagley with Afternoon Classical here on WCMU. Thanks for joining me today. My guest Robert Nordling, joining me via phone at a very safe distance from his home in Chicago. We are talking about music that expresses so many of the emotions that we are feeling at this time. Solitude, anger, prayer, and now, Robert, quietness.
Yeah. Again, one of these pieces of music, it may not be overstating it, Judy, to say to hear a live performance of Messiaen's Quartet for the End of Time will change your life. And maybe if it doesn't, something's wrong. It should change your life. This is a piece written by Messiaen in 1941, 42. And he writes this piece of music from a Nazi prison camp, where he was for the duration of the war. Quartet for the End of Time. I mean, we think of a double meaning of this, of what must the world have looked like from there? Quartet for the End of the World, for the End of Time. Messiaen also has a musical idea for the ending of time, or the end of timing. Messiaen is experimenting at this point with a sense of stasis and slowing things down, slowing music down, so it's not progressing as much as it is existing in stillness and in stasis. Messiaen is also a person of deep faith, and so this is a religious piece of music. There are eight movements of this piece, and I've chosen the second movement called, what he entitles, Praise to the Immortality of Jesus. Messiaen's faith is a very personal faith in a personal God. And for him, the immortality of Jesus talks about something that does not change. In his world that was coming unglued, that was being destroyed, that was being taken apart, in the horror of that situation, he holds on to something that does not change for him. And so it's just two instruments, one string instrument and then piano, play this piece. And it's not so much grieving, it's not rejoicing, it's almost stillness or quiet assurance in the midst of this loss and horror. You can tell I'm struggling for words to describe it. Let's stop talking about it and let's let this piece of music do exactly what we want it to do and express this incredible deep feeling.
Remembering what does not change, Praise to the Immortality of Jesus from Quartet for the End of Time. Praise to the Immortality of Jesus from Quartet for the End of Time by Messiaen. Robert Nordling, thank you so much for that. And you mentioned if you can get to a live performance of the Quartet for the End of Time. I don't know when that will happen again. So it is good to hear a recording. And wow.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it live three times. I can remember specifically every time I've seen it. And it's such a personal, capital P and small p, experience for both performer and for listener. And the piece, you know, has the piece in itself does a lot of what we're doing today. It rages at some points, and then it's almost completely static, and then it's beautiful beyond description at one point, and then it sort of goes into quietness and into the inner space. It's a remarkable journey of music. Highly recommended to this new Olivier Messiaen's Quartet for the End of Time.
These pieces that you've chosen have just been just spot on for what we need right now. Mm. Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. They certainly have spoken to my heart and my spirit.
Yes. Let's finish up with some hope.
Don't mind if I do.
Yes. Give us hope,
yeah,
please.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, I'm of the mind and of the attitude and of the faith and of the country, I think, that hangs doggedly on to hope, that beyond horror there is hope. I simply choose to believe that.
Yes, we have to have
I
hope.
Think for, we do, and I think a lot of times that is stretched in the midst of loss. That can be really stretched, and it can be simply something that we have to, through gut affirmation, acknowledge to be true. And I choose to affirm that hope does exist. And so many different pieces for so many different people. And I would encourage people who are listening here to find your piece of music that does that, that forces hope on our spirit, that forces us to look hope in the face when, in fact, we'd rather spend time in despair. For me, the very, very familiar the Firebird Suite by Igor Stravinsky. The last two movements of this, the berceuse and the finale. The berceuse, that quiet dance when the Firebird dies, the image of the phoenix, where this living fiery bird gives up its life and dies and then falls to dust. And hope is gone. Hope has vanished. And then that lone French horn, and Judy, you'll know about this solo because you've played this solo many times on your French horn. That lone French horn, as if calling back to life the hope that had died, calling back into life this bird spirit that's fallen and that's died and that rises again. And that French horn call and spreads to the other members of the orchestra, that grows and grows and grows until it becomes a great rising of the whole orchestra, and that bird rises and dances round and round and round the stage, and we, in our spirits, in our lives, dance with this bird as we're drawn into arising again from that death.
Yes, it's a great piece with the great finale there, from Stravinsky's Firebird, a piece that will most definitely give us hope. Well, Maestro Robert Nordling, thank you so much for joining me on Afternoon Classical today and bringing us this wonderful selection of music that expresses so much of what we may be feeling now: solitude, anger, prayer, quietness, and hope. And by the way, our playlist is posted online at our website, wcmu.org, so listeners could see all of the information there if they want to get ideas and inspiration from that. But you mentioned earlier that music doesn't only just express happiness. But I have to ask you, when we do get to the other side of whatever is going on now, this unprecedented this time, what will be your happy music? What do you want to listen to celebrate and to feel happiness and joy?
Yeah, and even before I tell you what it is, I listened to it yesterday because even in the midst of this, finding insisting on joy, like insisting on hope, finding places to celebrate. A good friend of mine, the violist Michael Hall, has been signing off all of his emails lately. Take care, stay safe, and seek laughter. You know, and I think there's great wisdom in that, finding those spots of joy. But
Well, there
for
are lots
me,
of silver linings there. There are people doing
oh
wonderful
yeah.
things, and yeah, we have to keep that in mind. And
Absolutely right. And you know, we like to think that sort of joy and grief are far apart from each other, but they're not. They're very, very close to each other. They're almost the opposite side of the same coin. We experience mixtures of joy and anger and grief all the time. It's never pure despair. It's never pure happiness. There's always mixtures of things that happen, and so I think it's important to find those while we go through this. So my go-to composer, probably not surprisingly, Johann Sebastian Bach, and his greatest work, in my humble opinion, quite possibly the greatest piece of Western music ever written on paper, his
But how do you
last
really feel
really.
about it?
Well, that's not opinion, Judy. That's just a statement of fact, is what I'm saying. But the B minor Mass is a jaw-dropping accomplishment musically. And for me, the Gloria in Excelsis Deo that Bach writes right in the middle of this piece. It's an ordinary, quote-unquote, ordinary part of the Mass, or a Mass ordinary. It happens in all Masses. And Bach sets angels dancing. When we hear this Gloria, it's in three, it's in a quick three, so it's a dance meter, and I swear to you, he had in his head dancing angels around heaven or around the sanctuary or whatever it was, because they are there is it's just a huge celebration of joy as glory, glory, glory is sung over and over again. So that Gloria movement from the B minor Mass is for me such a rich and important experience of expression of joy. I don't know if we have time to add it in here, but listeners, drop everything and go listen to the Gloria from the B minor Mass of Johann Sebastian Bach.
And do a happy dance with the angels.
Yes, indeed. Go ahead. Cut a rug with Angel Gabriel.
Robert Nordling, Maestro Robert Nordling, thank you so much for joining me today and for your selection of wonderful music that gives us hope and joy and lets us pray and also express anger and be quiet and be in our solitude during this difficult time, but also a time that, as you mentioned, we have to have hope and joy too. So thank you so much for joining us and for lending your voice to Afternoon Classical today here on WCMU.
Judy, this was delightful. Thank you so much for having me.